From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
He said, then you're rebellious. And he starts railing on me for 20 minutes. Now, I learn in seminary certain words like, yes, brother, hallelujah, God bless you. Oh, yes, I understand. And after about 20 minutes, I said, yes, hallelujah, God bless you, I understand. And I'm thinking, get out of my face.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. At one time or another, it will happen to all of us. We all will suffer. It's part of life. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that there are two types of suffering, and interestingly, the choice is ours. Here he is with a message entitled, Choose Your Suffering.
You know, I hate suffering. I don't know about you, but I cannot tolerate pain. You can call me sissy, pansy, whatever you want to, but I'd rather tolerate despicable names than tolerate pain. I'd rather endure belittling names than suffering. And I usually do anything that I can to get out of suffering. How many of you are like that? Yeah, the rest of you are lying, because we all want to get out of suffering. I mean, I'll even betray my own brother. I did that. I was 7 years old. My brother was 8, and we were up at Tripler Army Hospital because we had to get some inoculations because we were going to move to Japan for 3 years. We had to have 7 of these things. 7. So we went up there, and this nurse put us in this room with tiled floor, and we were half naked, shivering, waiting. And she came in. She was 7'9" tall, and she has this 12-inch needle coming in, squirting this thing. And she says to us, she says, this will have to be best given to you in your bottoms. So she said to me, what cheek would you like this in? I said, my brother's. Have you ever heard of the program Buns of Steel? I developed those up there, I tell you. But I will do anything to get out of pain because I don't like pain. But you know what I'm finding out? That suffering is a part of life, isn't it? Would you write that in your first bullet? Suffering is a part of life. You cannot live life without suffering. In fact, if you think about it, life itself starts with pain. At birth, a baby does not come into this world accompanied by harp music. He enters with birth pains. Life doesn't start with a lullaby, it starts with suffering. To remind us that that's going to be part and parcel. You got to factor that in as an ingredient to life, and without it, life, something of life will be missing. And not only is it a part of life, would you write in your second bullet, it's a requirement for maturity. Without being willing to embrace some suffering, we will never grow up. Think about it. Getting in shape requires some suffering. Whether it's getting in shape, losing weight, developing the basic disciplines of life, or even learning to communicate in marriage, it's going to require some measure of suffering. Even what you saw in the sketch, to be able to represent the Lord and to share the Lord with anybody, to represent Him well on this earth, we have to be willing to overcome some of that reticence, some of that sense of, well, I don't really want to do this. What will they think? Some of the fear and that suffering, as we decide to step over that and go through it, God can take that and convert it into success or life. If we're willing to be able to embrace some suffering, look at the daily ways that we have to be able to understand and embrace suffering. Just getting up this morning. When you got up this morning, you had to suffer a little bit, didn't you? Because you'd rather sleep. So you had to get out of bed. Or even in more advanced ways, you sense yourself starting to have like an affair and to pull back to say, no, it's not what God wants me to do. It's going to require you to handle some suffering and say, it's okay. It's not what I'd like to do, but I'm going to do it. The start of an argument, when you want to give somebody a piece of your mind, or you're out surfing or something and there's an argument and you want to duke it out somewhere and you instead walk away. It takes a little bit of suffering on your part to just walk away and say no, and it might save your life because the guy's bigger than me. And so we get to walk away. You know, a lot of times as parents, we try to remove all suffering from our kids and we live under this myth of thinking that in order to be a good parent, it is my responsibility to remove all suffering from my child. So I sort of fix all their fights and I guard them and guide them and I just don't want them to suffer at all. And in doing so, I actually stunt their maturity. taking suffering away from people is not the best thing. Oh, we can walk them through it and ask God's grace to be on them and help them to receive God's grace. But to just remove that would really stunt their maturity. Won't be the best. Paul talks about that it's a part of getting to know God too. I mean, you have to be able to understand not only the wonderful things of God, but also his suffering. Sometimes we sort of promote this religion that if you really have a lot of faith, you'll never have to suffer again. You won't have any pain. You won't have any problems. Everything will be peaches and cream and you'll slide through. Not true. Paul prays like this in the book of Philippians, and let's read it together in Philippians 3. Would you read it out loud? Go. I can really know Christ. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Why? So that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. In other words, he's saying the pathway to success is through the valley. The pathway to resurrection is through the cross. And if we're unwilling to bear that cross, then we may never arrive at victory. Now, if you remember, Paul was someone that God used to pen nearly half the New Testament. He built great leaders and great churches. But it didn't start that way. It didn't begin that way. You see, if you remember, Paul in the beginning began as a Pharisee. He had a lot of knowledge, but God said, that's not enough for you to really get to know my plans. It was on the road to Damascus that God knocked him off his high horse, blinded him with light. And then he said something like this. Let's read the next scripture out of Acts 9. Go. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Do you know that in order for God to bring us to the point where we understand life and the Legos start clicking together and all the pieces start falling in place, suffering is some of the things that we have to be someone that understands we got to embrace. Oh, it's so easy to just want to remove it. And as soon as we get into it, we circumvent it. We dodge it. We say that's not God's will. But maybe it is. You see, suffering can be your mentor or your tormentor. Just basically by the way you look at it. And if we think that suffering is not to be a part of life, you will never enter the depth of what a marriage could be, a parent could be, your faith could be, because we're dodging it all the time. I remember Aaron, my son, when just before he graduated from Bible college, we were doing devotions together, and he said, hey, Dad, I'm about ready to graduate. I've gone 4 years of Bible college studying the Bible. He says, I'm ready for ministry. I said, you think so? He said, yeah, I'm ready. I said, nah, not yet. He said, what else? What else is there? I said, you haven't suffered enough yet. He said, well, what do you mean suffering? I said, that's your next class. Oh, suffering may not be as obvious as you think, but it will be there. And how you respond to suffering will determine how well you advance in maturity. Oh, suffering may be couched in a supervisor's warning. Or it may be couched in you having an idea that you wanted to contribute, rejected, or purchase that you wanted to make, denied. And you think, why are they doing this? How you respond to suffering will determine how well you're going to grow. You see, because I'm convinced that life is made up of 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to what happens to us. And you see, that's what happened with Paul. Now, I want us to know that we can suffer for a couple of reasons. One, we can suffer because of poor decisions and the consequences of those poor decisions. Let me ask you, how many of you have suffered because of bad decisions on your part? Raise your hand. Yeah, all of us have. But it's not always that we suffer because of wrong decisions. Did you know that we can suffer because of right decisions? You say, well, wait a minute. Right? If you're right, you shouldn't suffer. No, you do. We've seen that. Joseph, who made a right decision about Potiphar's wife, suffered. Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa. You'll see many missionaries who have suffered. And every reformer in history suffered because they wanted to do what was right. And the greatest reformer of all, Jesus Christ, who converted our souls, he suffered for doing what was right. And if we want to be followers of Christ, and if we want to be people in His image, we have to understand that we're going to go through the same thing. We say, wait a minute, you suffer for doing wrong and you suffer for doing right. Uh-huh. Suffering is inevitable. Let's read what he says here in Luke 6. Go. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Oh, wait a second. Komenasai, ne? I was reading the wrong line. I learn fast. I hear silence. Uh-oh, mistake somewhere. Okay, let's try one more time. Here we go. Go. A pupil is not above his teacher. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his... Would you underline that? You see, there's going to be times of suffering. Why? Because the Lord wants us to be more like Him. Well, you say, well, wait a minute then. Well, if we're going to suffer for doing wrong and doing right, well, we don't have a choice then. We do. Let's go to the top of our notes and read what he says. Although suffering is not a choice that we get to have, we do have a choice. Let's read it at the top. Go. It is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is... So you know what God is saying? Suffering is not your choice. But here's a wonderful choice. You can choose what you suffer for. Isn't that exciting? You don't sound very excited. Yeah, it isn't that exciting, but it is a choice. It's sort of like you're at an awards banquet and someone hands you a $50,000 check. Wayne, you've been awarded a $50,000 check. Hoo-hoo-hoo! And now you can donate this to your favorite charity. I think my favorite charity is moi. Oh, no, it's not for you. You can donate this to your favorite charity. It's like this. God says, I will award you suffering. It's good. It's for your maturity. It's for your growth. It gives you depth in faith. It'll help you to become a representative of me. Because a lot of times there's religious coding on the outside, layers of religiosity. And you know what? Suffering sort of burns that away and helps you to develop the inner core so that you'll look like me in every way. Not a religious person, but like Christ. Because the world does not need to see religious people. They need to see Christ. And so what God is saying is, I'm going to award you suffering. Now you can choose what you suffer for. But here's what I'm going to teach you, and here's the whole message. I'm going to teach you how to convert suffering into success. You see, we have a lot of suffering in life. Just think if we could recycle suffering, if we can convert suffering into success, do you know how successful and fruitful our lives would be? You say, well, how would you do that? You know, here it is. You need to hear this. When God created life, He created conversion machines that takes that which is bad and makes it into good. That's just how He is. For example, he will take plants that will take sun that would cause a desert, and they convert sun into chlorophyll, and it causes growth. Take dirty water, the water that we drink. Where does it come from? From clean water sources? Not necessarily. If you go beyond that, where does the water get to those clean sources? Well, you take muddy water, stink water, polluted water, salt water, all that's undrinkable. Now watch the conversion take place. Evaporation takes this. It evaporates it into clouds. It then comes over, rains. It's filtered through soil into reservoirs where we get clean water that started from polluted, muddy, salty water. But a conversion process took place, and now we have clean, drinkable water. Because when God created this thing called life, He created things to convert bad into good. Take a look at a tree. Let's say apple or orange. Let's say an orange tree. You've picked an orange before and broken it open, tasted its effervescent taste. It's fresh and it's healthy for you. But where did it get that juice that created that orange? Was it from a juice factory? No. You take a look at that tree. It's planted in muddy soil, bacteria-laden water with manure on it. Dogs will lift their leg on that tree. Can't believe I said that in church, but that stuff will sink down into the roots. Now watch this. Then a conversion takes place. That tree has been designed by God to convert that which is bacteria-laden, filthy, dirty. And you know what it does? It filters it, converts it into an orange that you can open and eat and not be afraid of getting any bacterial infection because it has been converted into life from that which is bad. Did you know that if you just take a look around and look at how many conversion principles God places in this thing He develops called life? In fact, He is the greatest example of all who created in His image. He is the great converter. He's the one that took the sin of mankind and the cross that converted it into redemption. From hurt, He brings healing. From hopelessness, He converts it into hope. From death, He converts it into life. From a person on a crash course with hell, He converts that person and puts them on the road to heaven. Now, when God created you and me, now watch this. When God created you and me, He created us in His image, which means the very way He is has been implanted into you, just like we see His fingerprints all over creation. And you know what God did? He made us a people that converts bad into good. That's why the Bible says, don't return insult for insult or a curse for a curse, but when you get a reviling, return a blessing instead. Huh? Yeah. When you get death, return life. What? Yeah. Because not only does He convert our souls, He makes us someone who can convert suffering into success. Why? Because that's in His image. That's how He created us. And how often we say, if you make me suffer, I'm going to make you suffer. If you give me bad, I'm going to give you bad. You give me stuff, I'll give you stuff. And the Lord says, you know, that's not my image. The world needs to see people in His image. And it begins with us. And we're going to be surrounded by suffering. And the Lord is saying, I am going to give you the grace to be able to convert suffering into success. How? Well, first of all, you have to remember, that's just the way I create. That's the way I am. That's my nature. That's how I created nature. And that's how I created you. And the way we are no more like Jesus. We are no more in His image than when we are wanting to convert suffering into health, pain into wholeness, someone's hurt into someone's health. And the Lord says, when we are doing things like that, when we have that kind of thought process and heart, you're never more like the Lord than when that's happening in your life. You say, well, that's what I want. How do I do that? Well, God gives us some very succinct principles in how we can be sort of not only converted, but a conversion machine, as it were. Here's three principles that will help us to convert suffering into success. Would you write in your notes, number one, here's the guidelines. Number one, commit to do what is right. Commit to do what is right. Now, remember, the Lord said you can suffer for doing wrong or you can suffer for doing right. It is better that you suffer for doing right. You choose. So what do? I must commit to do what is right. Will I suffer for it? Yeah. But you see, that's where God can convert suffering into success. This way will not be the easiest because you're suffering for doing what is wrong. But when you do what is right, the Lord says, rejoice because I can convert that. That's why he says in Romans 8:28, God can work all things together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. You see, those who are wanting to do right. Genesis 50:20, Joseph wanted to do right and he did right and yet he suffered for it. Then that's why God said to Joseph, what was meant for evil, I have turned and made it for good. Do you see that conversion process? The Lord speaks to us through the scriptures. Let's read it in 1 Peter 3. Go. Keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So they're reviling your what? Your good behavior. Now, he's saying commit to do what is right. Did you know that we can suffer incorrectly or we can suffer correctly? Let's read the next scripture. Go. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Would you underline that? Doing what is right. Then you will suffer according to the will of God. You got to commit to doing what is right. Now, you notice I didn't say find out who is right. No, do what is right. A lot of times we make that big mistake of thinking that I've got to find out who is right in this situation. In a marriage, you're going to have sometimes where you're going to lock horns. And you're going to say, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And you're trying to Sherlock the whole thing to see who's righter than the other. I'm 60% right then and you're 40%. So I'm righter than you are. No way. Okay, 55%. I'm right and you're wrong. 45%. No. And we spend all day long trying to figure out who's right. But I want you to see that the Lord is saying, don't try to figure out who's right as much as what's right. Because you see, sometimes what is right is to just let it go. And God is saying, you don't need to die on that hill. It's too small. It's too dumb. And you know what is right? Reprioritize your relationship for the sake of the kingdom of God. Instead of trying to Sherlock each other to death, why don't you renew your heart to one another? You know, what is right is a whole lot better than who is right. You see, Jesus was right on the cross, and he could have called a legion of angels. But instead, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And because he did what is right, rather than trying to figure out who is right, redemption took place, and he converted suffering into redemption. Commit to do what is right, and it will change you and the whole situation. And the scripture says here, and by the way, make sure that you suffer according to the will of God, that you suffer correctly. I tell you, sometimes we suffer in a way that's not according to the will of God. But God is saying, when you suffer right and do what is right, rather than figure out who is right, I will give you wisdom so that you'll know this is the right thing to do. And I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do this. Yeah, but even though I'm right and they're wrong. No, it doesn't matter at that point. What is more important is what is right. And then it releases God to, like he's created creation, to convert mud into something good, bad into something good, suffering into success. The first thing is, make sure you commit to do what is right.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Choose Your Suffering by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com.
stream the message, or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with the click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media, and help us spread the good news to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.